I'm thankful for his blessings through another year. I too, I guess like everybody, I tend to look back and consider the year and think of the things that took place in it, things that were sources of joy and some disappointments, and believe the Lord wants us to be able to learn from those things and through it all to see the hand of the Lord and his faithfulness to us. It's a good time for reflection, and sometimes I believe maybe needs to be a time for inflection or an inflection point. Sometimes a place where the Lord wants us to change a little bit of the trajectory that we're on in maybe an area of our life. Some places that the Lord would point out to us, and I suppose if all of us are honest, there are probably some places that I could say, Lord, I want to do better here. I have some places that I want to grow. I realize that there are still some walled cities. There are still some places that I need more power, more grace, more victory in my life, and I want to take that. But you know, it's not going to be uncontested. We're not going to, this day really is no different than any other. It's one day closer to eternity. It's another day, but it's going to require a determination on our part. And I want to, the thought and burden this afternoon is being resolved. We hear about resolutions. We perhaps have made some in our lives. Sometimes resolutions take a bad rap. I don't believe they're necessarily bad. It's what you do with them. Resolutions have a reputation. They have a reputation of falling by the wayside, of being forgotten, of being soon passed over, of being the flavor of the day, if you will, or it's just the thing that you do at New Year's Eve, New Year's Day kind of thing. And it's easy to say that I want to go on a diet when I'm feeling especially full and I've been gorging myself, and I say that's a good idea. That's the thing to do. But that's not the way it's going to be for the next 365 days. And so many times resolutions are nothing more than a wish or a passing idea or a thought that, you know, it'd sure be nice. It'd sure be nice if this could be different, if I could do that differently. And you fill in the blank of whatever those resolutions might would be in your mind. But whenever it comes to the things of the Lord, we see even in a natural sense how hard resolutions are to keep, how hard a purpose is to maintain. It seems like it's so hard for people, myself included, to really make changes in our lives. When it's easier maybe to see a place and think, I want to do better here, but it seems like we were talking a little earlier that for many people, it's almost like it takes a climactic experience to really change somebody and set them on a different course. You know, I'm not just talking about the way of sin and the Lord turning us around. Surely the Lord does that for us. But those places in our lives that I recognize, Lord, I want to make some changes. I want to do something differently here in my life. It's going to require more than that thought. It's going to require more than that initial desire. It starts there. You're not going to get there without having the initial desire and purpose. But may the Lord help us to be resolved. To be resolved is to be determined. To have a purpose set in my mind that I want to attain this. I want to reach this goal. I want to get to this point. And there's a determination that motivates me to be able to get that. Remember a story that maybe I've related here and may share a couple of them as the Lord leads here this afternoon. This one is a story of Douglas Monroe and his friend Mike Cooley. Douglas Monroe was of the Coast Guard. He won medals and awards posthumously because of his bravery and valor in World War II and saving the lives of Marines. His friend Mike lived in Washington. He stayed behind and didn't go off to war, but whenever he found out that his His friend Doug had been killed. He was moved by that. He was touched by it. And he determined that if Doug went off and gave his life for me, then I can do something for him to show and honor the sacrifice that he made. And so he began a practice in his life of every morning going and raising the flag over Doug's grave. And because it wasn't lit, he would walk home, and then that evening he'd go back again and lower the flag down so that it wouldn't fly through the night. He did that day after day, week after week, month after month, through rain, snow, sleet, sickness. And it wasn't just down the block. It was 2 to 3 miles from Mike's house to the cemetery. But he had a resolve about him. He had a determination that I want to do this. I'm determined to do this thing. And he made many sacrifices through his life. His family didn't even realize what he was doing all the time that he did it. Whenever he came down with pneumonia, instead of walking, he had his daughter drive him to the cemetery. And it seemed that was the only concession that he ever made to make it a little easier on himself. Mike did this for over 30 years, racking up tens of thousands of miles that he walked over that time. You know, I'm challenged by a man's resolve like that. And I say, if he can do it for something like that, this seems like an honorable, noble way to remember your friend, perhaps. But if he can do it for something like that, Lord, help me to be resolved. Help me to be resolved and determined. Lord, you know, it's already to June now, and I don't feel like the way that I did January 1st. I don't, things have changed now, and I'm in a different battle now, and I've gone through some different places and different times, and I know I made that resolve back then. But Lord, help me today to still have a resolve, to still have a determination by His grace that I maintain. I'd like to begin in 1 Corinthians 15. Familiar passage and one of my favorites. 15 and 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be ye steadfast. Be unmovable. Don't be soon shaken. Don't allow yourself to be moved off so easily. Whenever we make a determination, Lord, help us that we not be moved off of that. The scripture says of vows that are made to the Lord, when you pay your vows, defer not to pay it. When you make your vows, don't defer to pay it unto the Lord. Realize the solemnness. Lord, I make a solemn vow here before you. It's really what our service to the Lord is, what our worship to the Lord is. Lord, I make some solemn vows. The city of our solemnities we read about. That is the city of our solemn vows. The place that we come together and worship together and make purposes and vows to the Lord. Defer not to pay them. Be ye steadfast, unmovable. I would that the Lord would help us this year, as we face into a year that we know really nothing of, don't know what we'll encounter or what we'll face, that the Lord would help us to be determined, to be resolved. I'd like to look at something Jesus told his disciples, Luke chapter 21. Luke 21, Jesus here, talking of the things that must first come to pass before the end comes. Nations rising against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms and earthquakes and so forth. But before all these, verse 12, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. You shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not a hair of your head perish, and your patience possess ye your souls. Jesus told him, and I've often wondered about this, where he said, don't meditate before what you shall answer. Don't give thought to it ahead of time, what your defense is going to be of yourself. Whenever you're brought and you're tried and you're persecuted, don't set your mind and your heart and your focus on what your defense will be of yourself, on how you'll deliver yourself out of that. Commit yourself wholly to the Lord. Commit yourself to the cause of God and leave that to Him. The Lord will be your defense. The Lord, another one of the Gospels that says, for it is not ye that answer. It's the Lord. It's the Spirit of the Father that speaketh through you. Jesus told them here, times were pretty good for the most part, walking with Jesus, but He told them, now is the time to settle it. Settle it in your hearts now before you ever get to that time. The Lord, this is where my trust is going to be. This is what my determination and my purpose is. Every step that we take will be hotly contested. The violent take it by force. Every man presseth into the kingdom. Every advance that we take in the kingdom of God. You read about times of World War I and different wars where they fought for every foot that they progressed. Every foot that they were able to progress forward. They fought for it. Men died for it. But they were determined to press forward. Lord, help us to be determined, to be resolved that whatever the cost, whatever the price, I'm going forward. I want to make progress. Lord, here's a purpose in this area of my life that I want to do better. I want to make some progress. And I realize it's going to take more than just saying I want to be different or I want to change this. Lord, I'm going to have to lay siege to a city. I'm going to have to make some changes in my life to be able to realize the goal of what I'm wanting. Be unmovable. It was the words of Winston Churchill whenever Britain was being bombed mercilessly day after day or night after night, week after week, stretched into months whenever Hitler and his army were trying to break the back of England. They were trying to break their resolve and their determination by bombing them relentlessly, mercilessly, over and over and over. And it began to take a toll. But the words of their leader were this: never, never, never give up. Never give in to the seemingly overwhelming force of the enemy. Never give in. And he preached that message over and over to his people. Don't give up. You see the signs today, keep calm and carry on. It's where it originated, as I understand it, from that time. Keep calm. Don't allow yourself to be moved. Don't allow yourself to be soon shaken. This too will pass. Hold in there. So may we be encouraged as well, knowing that we're going to face an adversary of our souls, one that is going to contest every foot of progress that I make, so to speak. Are we still determined in the face of every foe? Or whenever we face the fiery persecution, maybe I'll retreat a little bit. Maybe I'll just leave that walled city alone. Maybe I'll just skirt around that one. I don't know if it's worth it. Or are we willing to make a resolve within our soul? I mean to go right on. And I mean to win the victory. Was reading a little history just recently about World War II. And won't be able to relate all the details to you. But it was in the Pacific Theater, one of the most pivotal times perhaps of the war in the Pacific Theater, when we're trying to liberate the Philippines from the Japanese and we're moving in to try to take that place and gain a foothold in the Philippines. And they encountered, as they were there off of Leyte, They had two squadrons, one of which was the Third Fleet. The Japanese sent a decoy convoy on the north of them to try to draw them away. The Third Fleet was there to protect the entire convoy, but they were lured and drawn away out of action. Meanwhile, the Japanese from the other direction came in to attack, trying to take out all of the Allied forces that were in that area, trying to gain a foothold or a toehold in the Philippines. It was a very critical moment. It could have been a turning point of the war against the Allies. Well, the squadron or the group of ships that were left were hardly equipped to defend themselves. They were equipped with light guns that were for anti-aircraft and a few torpedoes for submarines, but they weren't considered to be heavily armed. They weren't designed to be able to stand against an attack of a very strongly fortified presence. Whenever they got reports of somebody that was flying overhead that said the largest assembled, not using the terminology of platoon or whatever of ships, the flotilla, whatever the assembly of ships, largest that's ever been assembled that the Japanese has ever been able to muster together is bearing down straight on you. They had no hope. Some of their ships were not even armored, and they made a purpose and a determination that we're not going to give up. We're not going to turn tail and run. We'd be slaughtered on the way out if we did. We're going to fight this one until the end. So as they came in and they saw all the ships coming in on them, they said one of the ships of the Japanese displaced as much water as all of the other ships of the Allied command put together. And there were multitudes of those ships that were bearing down on the Allied forces there in the waters. And sad as it happened, it was under the command of Vice Admiral Clifton Sprague. He gave the command to start belching out smoke from the ships. They started putting a lot of black smoke, and it was used as a smoke screen. And some of the more critical ships were able to move to a safer location, and one of the small little ship that could charged out directly for the oncoming Japanese ships. Was considered a suicide mission. Wasn't thought or seen how it could possibly succeed. But to make a long story short, it went out with all the guns that it had blazing. It was zigzag pattern and putting out the smoke that it could to try to screen what it was doing. It went up in the very face of all of the Japanese fleet that was there to sink every last one of them. And it began firing what it could, and it landed some hits and was able somehow to dodge some of the worst hits and kept fighting. Some of the other ships of the few that were remaining of the Allies came along behind them, and the aircraft that were with them came dropping what bombs they had on the Japanese until they completely ran out. And when they ran out, they started flying dry runs over the enemy to try to distract them and to try to get them off course. They were determined. As they were in the heat of the battle and some of the ships were starting, of the Allies were starting to sink, in came another seven ships of the Japanese bearing right on. One of the ships that was the first to take the lead said, "I'm going to take this one on too." They had already lost a lot of their equipment, a lot of their men, but they turned and headed directly at the seven ships, and they started firing with everything that they had left. They turned the seven ships off of their course. The big battleship, by a torpedo that was headed its way, had to change course and turn and head back the other way, and it was put out of action, and in the end, they turned back the entire fleet of the Japanese. By that, it's considered to have been a turning point to victory in that battle because of a few straggling forces that were behind that said, "I won't give up." They said, "We're going to fight. We have a cause that we're fighting for. We have something that we're going to protect, and we're not going to let it go." And they did what many people thought was foolish or stupid or impossible. They stood their ground. You know, we realize that if the Lord is for us, there's nobody that can be against us. We see the scriptures of how the Lord, with overwhelming might, overturned the chariots of the Egyptians, and all of those stories that are so encouraging to us. We read in 2 Chronicles 20 where the Lord told Jehoshaphat and the people, you don't need to fight in this battle. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I like reading those. That's the God that we serve. But you know, I'm still going to face the heat. I'm still going to face the battle. And it's not every time that the Lord says, I'm going to fight this one. The Lord will fight it for us, but He's going to put us on the front lines many times. So we're going to face the battle and the heat and the fire. We're going to face the enemy face to face. And chances are every one of us here today are going to face the enemy in the teeth, so to speak, this year. If we'll have the courage to meet him head on and say, I'm not going to tuck tail and run. I'm not going to go back. By God's grace, I mean to win the victory and I mean to stand firm for the Lord. We'll be able, by the Lord's grace, to do what seems impossible. Determination, resolve. Let's look at Psalms 112. And 5, a good man sheweth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. Acts chapter 11. The Lord called Paul. The Lord used Paul mightily. Paul was able to see the power of the Lord manifested, but Paul himself faced so much opposition and persecution and hardship. Lord, surely you could cause the one ship that I'm floating on, surely you could cause that to get across safely. But yet through it all, he committed himself unto the Lord. In this one instance that I'd like to read in the 11th chapter and beginning in verse 22. The tidings of these things came into the ear of the church that was at Jerusalem. They sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he was come and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Paul had been stoned and left for dead, but yet he circled back. You can read in one account, he circled back to encourage and confirm the hearts of the saints. To encourage them that through much persecution and trial, hold in there, hang in there. You're going to make it. You're going to be able to make it. He encouraged them here that with purpose of heart, with a determination, with having it, as Jesus said, settle it therefore in your hearts. Have it settled. Don't leave a question mark in it when you face the battle. If we go into the battle with a question mark in our minds, with a question mark it'll end. With a question mark we'll turn and run. The time to settle it is now. The time to settle it in our hearts is before we ever get into the battle. With resolve and determination, Lord, I mean to go right on. You're going to have to build on that. You're going to have to do something with that once you get in the battle. But before you ever get there, remember it's what the scripture says that Daniel did. Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with that portion of the king's meat. Daniel made a purpose before he ever knew how the rest of the story of Daniel was going to turn out. Daniel made a purpose. Before he ever knew what was going to happen with the lion's den, before he ever knew what would happen to his friends in the burning fiery furnace, Daniel made a purpose. A purpose or a resolve irregardless of the consequences. If I die, I die. But here's my resolve. And so the three Hebrew children told the king, said, if the Lord doesn't deliver us, we're still not careful to answer you. In this matter, we're determined. We're resolved. I've got my mind made up. You know, it's what convictions are. That we get into the battle, that we get into the test, that we face a hostile world. I've got it settled. I know in whom I have believed. My heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. I don't have to be afraid of evil tidings. You can debate which bathroom a man's supposed to go into all you want. I've got it settled. I've got it figured out in my mind. I'm not going through that. I'm already fixed and determined and resolved in my mind. Lord, I want to serve you. I want to trust you. I don't know what's going to happen in the battle. Lord, I don't know what kind of firepower I'm going to face. Those men, as they went into the teeth of the Japanese fleet, they were almost sure that they were going to go down, and many of them did lose their life. But they were determined, I'm not going to go back in cowardice or fear. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going forward. I've got a cause that I'm fighting for, and I'm determined to go on all the way until the end. Have we enlisted in the service of the Lord till we die? Or till things start getting bad? Lord, help us to have a resolve about us. That'll keep us in the hard times. That'll keep us in the difficulty. Lord, I've enlisted. Lord, I see the ships on the horizon. Lord, it makes me want to shake in my boots. I see the things that are ahead of me, and I know that I'm no match for it. And sometimes every fiber within me wants to just go and hide. Wants to turn and run the other way or put my head in the sand. But Lord, I've got a cause that I'm fighting for. I've got a battle. I made a purpose. I made a resolve. That Lord, I want to take all of this land, the promised land that you've given unto me. I don't want to give the devil any room. I don't want to draw back and say, devil, okay, that's yours over there. I want to be able, it's more than just defense. We've got to be able to play defense. We've got to be able to guard ourselves. If we don't, you can preach two messages on both sides. If you don't have defense, then all the offense in the world doesn't matter a bit. All the offense, and we're going to go off and do this and go off and do that. We're going to go, if you haven't defended and kept the home base, the enemy will sneak right in behind you and destroy you while you're out trying to do all this other stuff. But you know, the Lord also hasn't just called us to sit in protective mode. The Lord hasn't just called us to just stand and hunker down and just wait for it all to be over. But Lord, help me whenever you tell me, Moses, speak unto my people that they go forward. It's time to go forward. It's not time to cower down or grumble or complain or fear. It's time to move forward. It's time to step foot out over the river and watch it part. Lord, I don't know how this is going to end. There are things that I'm sure we all have faced. Lord, I don't know how this is going to turn out. I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know how this is going to be possible. If thy voice I hear before me, fearlessly I'll follow thee. Hear the voice of our commander, standing firm. Have we made a purpose, a resolve? Have we done like Isaiah 50:7 says? I've set my face like a flint. I'm determined. No matter the firepower that the enemy throws my way, no matter the ridicule or the scorn of the world or family or whatever it is, I've made a purpose, and I mean to be true to that. We made vows to the Lord. You know, the times that we live in, it seems like people, they just want to be non-committal. They want to test the waters. They say, well, I like the idea of living for the Lord. I think I'll try that out. You don't live for the Lord that way. You won't be successful that way. You won't be successful saying, you know, I think I'd like to try to trust the Lord. Let me see how it is. Lord, I got to make some resolves. I got to make some purposes. You know what a resolve is without the grace of God? It's a cause for the devil to laugh in your face. Without the grace of God, our resolves mean nothing. But folks, though, in a world that is non-committal, in a world that says, you know, it'd be better to just not make any commitment than to get into a commitment and wish I didn't make it. Or get into a commitment and things get too hard and I have to back out and there's shame and disgrace with that. So I'm just going to stay in a comfortable little zone, in a comfortable little place, and I'm never going to launch out into the deep. Lord, help us to make some commitments. The scripture talks about the vows that we make to the Lord, and it puts with it a very serious carefulness. Don't just lightly vow before the Lord. Don't lightly just go and say, Lord, I'll do this, I'll do that, and I promise this, and I'll give that. And then you go your way, and you forget that you ever made a vow. That's the way that the resolves of our world, the resolutions of our world, go that way so many times. What was it in 9/11 time? Whenever even the leaders of our nation are standing on the steps of the Capitol, forgetting all about separation of church and state now. Now they're singing gospel hymns and church attendance skyrockets. But what happened to all those resolutions? What happened to all those determinations people made that I'm gonna make this change. I'm gonna get my children into service. The Lord's calling for something more than that. He's calling for don't be afraid to make a vow. When you make a vow, make it in the fear of God. But be willing to put a stake down. Be willing to launch out into the deep. Be willing to commit. Lord, I'm going to be faithful to you by your grace. Lord, by your grace, you know a good resolve to make? By your grace, every chance I get to be in service, I'm going to be in service. That's a good resolve to make. Lord, by your grace, I want to be true to that. I want to be faithful to that. Lord, where there's a need, I want to fill that need. A resolve, a determination, the devil is going to try to rob it. And we can be assured this year, whatever purposes, desires, prayers that we have before the Lord, Lord, I want to get here by the end of this year. The devil knows that. And the devil's already setting out to try to block our progress. But I want to encourage us. Today, on the first day of this year, let's make a resolve. Let's make a resolve in the fear and by the grace of God. Lord, here are some things that I'm giving to you. We heard about cleaning up the clutter. You know, the Lord's pointed out some things to me. You need to do a little cleanup here. You need to empty out a little bit here to make a little more room for me in these areas. Folks, let's take the time to say, Lord, I hear you. Lord, I recognize there are some I don't want this to just be another day that comes and goes and the good purposes go by the wayside of yesterday. And I get to the same place next year. And I think, you know, I made the same resolve last year. You know, I've wanted to do this for years. Lord, help us to make a resolve, a determination, without fear of what it's going to mean of the enemy flying in our face. Folks, the Lord will stand by us. So we like the stories of those times that the Lord says, I'll fight the battle for you. But you know, it's not always the case that when we pray in our battles, that the Lord just makes the battle easy. Or the Lord makes the battle go away. The Lord tests our resolve. The Lord tests our determination to follow Him. He tests how serious we are about the resolutions that we've made. And He tests and tries our faith. But if we're faithful unto the end, He's got a crown for us. He's got a reward for us. And you know those times will come that the Lord will say, I've got this battle. And sometimes the hardest part of the battle is standing still. Sometimes that is the battle, to stand still. Whatever the battles are that we face, let's go forward. Let's move. The song says, forward, forward is the battle cry. It's not defeat. It's not shrinking back in fear before the enemy. But in our lives, every one of us in our spiritual walk with the Lord, let's seek the Lord for a closer walk, to make progress, to make gains in areas in our lives with the Lord this year, and keep that resolve ever before. Lord, this is a It's a vow that I've made before you. I want to keep that before, as I go to prayer, I want to pray about it. Lord, here it is. I want to remember it. Put it up on the wall. Put it in your Bible, whatever you need to do. Lord, this is a resolution. It's a determination that I made. And Lord, I'm still resolved to stick by that. The Lord is looking for determination and resolve from us. You pray for me. Amen.